Over here at the British Touring Car Podcast, we've got our binoculars out and we're telling you who to watch out for in the 2025 season.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are building up to Donington this week and we are going to tell you the drivers to watch for this season.
Yep, we've both had a pick each and agreed on something, which is always nice.
Yeah, that makes a change, doesn't it?
Quite quickly on the agreement.
Yes, it was.
We're going to basically talk to you about who our pick for the season is. And a bit of housekeeping, we have excluded the obvious. So Jake Hill, Tom Ingram, Ash Sutton need not apply. They will not be discussed in this podcast. They'll be covered plenty in the season preview.
Yes, they will.
And they'll be covered plenty through the season reviews as we go, because those three are surely going to be at the sharp end, you'd have thought, throughout 2020.
If not, we're in for a big surprise, I think.
Massively so.
So going forward then, as Russ said, we've picked a driver each and a joint driver. So we'll get into your first driver.
Yep. So I've gone for to watch, potentially not necessarily in a purely positive way.
Oh, dear. Start on a positive note, mate.
Positive person. It's Adam Morgan for me. I think this is his biggest season in the touring car to date.
Why did you say that?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Go on then. I'll tell you for why.
I'll tell you for that. His stint at BMW WSR didn't really go well.
There were quite a few lows and not very many highs. Certainly not what he'd achieved in sort of like the Sicily Mercedes.
Would it shock you if I say over 60 races with them, no wins,
ooh,
and only 5 podiums?
Oh,
for a driver of that calibre and a team like that, it's not good enough. And what I would say as well is he did struggle a little bit with the Car Gods team.
Yes, he did.
Before that, he did. Not to the same level.
No.
He's not taken a win now for nearly 2.5 seasons.
Wow.
Which is also bonkers for a driver of this level.
Yep.
And of course, this season, he's away from the rear wheel drive. Going back into front-wheel drive, yep. Obviously the Mercedes A-Class was a front-wheel drive car, so it was. I checked out today.
He used to drag some excellent performances out of that as well, and I do kind of hope that he settles back into that sort of rhythm.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a good supportive team around him with the two Toms and Creasy there.
Of course, he's been a teammate with Tom Chilton before as
yes,
well, so
he's
got that little bit of rapport, you'd have thought, with Tom there. And of course, while he's going to have to adapt to front-wheel drive car, he's going to be expected to help Ingram in the title fight. There's no doubt about
definitely.
It. Accelerate, I'm sure. I'm convinced I've looked at why did Tom Ingram fall short last year?
It's almost like they've been listening to us.
Well, one of those reasons was because he didn't have the support in the same way Hill had. And, obviously, you can't bring in a Turkington because he is such a uniquely good driver, but you can bring in strong drivers that can help you out throughout the season. I think Adam will be expected to battle for podiums, to take wins if it's not working for Tom or Tom, particularly Tom Ingram. but also to be there constantly in the top, top 8, top 10 throughout the season, mixing with the other championship potentials and taking points off them.
I think it was quite crucial for Accelerate to bring in a driver of his experience, first of all, and someone where you kind of know what sort of performances you're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
And if he's able to adapt in the pre-season testing that we've had, and obviously at Media Day as well, then we could see almost like a fire relit within him.
Yeah.
Do you think we could possibly see him outperforming Chilton and being that second driver for Ingram?
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, I think he can, because I think he's more in the peak of his career than Chilton is.
Yep.
We've seen what he can do as well. He did have BMW just didn't work for him. Didn't look comfortable in or out the car. He didn't look happy in around the pit lane. It just felt like he was just not there to make up the numbers. That's too harsh. But he certainly wasn't. He just didn't click with the car.
Wasn't on his A game, was he?
And even in the not Drive to Survive, on the limit they did the year before, where he was one of the focused drivers,
struggled.
Engineer.
He admitted it.
Struggle. Yeah, you could see it. So he is going to have to adapt. And dare I say, he needs a season that's got less incidents and less anonymous weekends. Because for lots of last year in particular, I didn't realise he was at the races.
And hopefully for Accelerate, more consistency, because they did have some reliability troubles last time out.
Yeah.
If they fix that, it could well be a good combination. And that's why he's one of our drivers to watch.
Absolutely.
My driver then is a driver that well outperformed expectation last season, has got that move to a manufacturer team, and it's kind of make or break time. We think he's in the form of his life, and that is Aaron Taylor-Smith. He's got the move to Toyota. Will it turn out like Watson? Will it turn out completely differently? Will it be the exact move that he needs? We saw how comfortable he was at PMR, and he'd really settled into that team. I can completely understand why he's moved, because the difficulties that PMR almost walked into or got walked out on. So, yeah, I think it's the right move for him. And if Toyota have made the right developments over the off season, then it could be that one that really fires him into a possible top six contender.
I mean, I think you're right to potentially highlight that obviously Watson did struggle there.
Yep.
But I think it's a different scenario because Watson...
Massively.
I think Watson, we said it on the podcast, went too soon.
Yep.
Whereas Aaron Taylor has been in long in the tooth. He's been in the championship on and off for 10 years, I think it is now.
Yeah, 2011 he made his debut.
There you go. I know he's not been in it consistently throughout that time, but he's a race winner. He's raced at multiple teams. He's not, you know, he's not wet behind the ears. That's not to say Watson was. What I'm saying Watson was, he'd done one full season, done very well, and then made a really big jump, whereas Aaron Taylor Smith won't come as such a culture shock to him, I wouldn't have thought, in the same way it potentially looked like it happened to Watson last year.
No, he's nearly got 300 races up. I think opening weekend he'll have that 300 up as long as he starts each race.
Yeah.
He's had 4 wins, 22 podiums along the way, 1 pole position and 5 fastest laps. As long as he settles in quickly to that team and finds that comfort that he had at PMR, then I think he'll settle in quite nicely. We know the calibre of driver that he is and the quality that he can bring to the team. It's just whether he can get all that potential out now.
Yeah, and I mean, here the scene last year that 3 out of the 4 drivers took wins.
Yes, they did.
And he'll be fancying a trip to the top step of the podium outright.
Certainly will.
You know, he won the independence at a walking pace last season. He'll be wanting to mix it, you know, as you say, trying to get into the top six at the very least. Obviously, last year he was a standout driver away from the top six. I mean, we were both blown away by his overall performance in the car. So I think if he can get through the season, a couple of outright podiums, maybe even sneak that win, that's a good season for Aaron Taylor-Smith.
Do you think if he finishes again 7th in the championship, he'll be happy with that? Or do you think he's still considering the change of team, still looking to push higher?
Honestly, it depends on this next question.
Okay.
If Toyota are looking to make a championship challenge,
yep,
which you'd have thought they would, that would be what their override is, which driver is the one that you they would be making that number one? You know, assuming they're not going to do papaya rules or whatever shade of red they're going to be. What's their number? Is it going to be Aaron Taylor-Smith for the title outright, or is it going to be Gordon Shedden for the title?
I mean, a 3-time touring car champion that is coming back to the grid after a certain amount of time. You know he's got the experience. You know he's got the know-how of to do what he needs to do when he's there. But is he going to be rusty? Is he going to be...
And this is it. Yeah. So which basket are the Toyota eggs going into? And I think that is the answer to your question you asked.
I think at the moment, at the start of the season, it's always going to be a split dozen into each. I think the other two drivers are there for development purposes, so it is going to mainly focus on those two.
And the Jack Sears for both of them as well.
And the Jack Sears, yeah. If you haven't listened to that pod, go and watch it now.
Great. That
Thank you.
That,
yeah. And yeah, it's kind of finding out this season what Aaron Taylor-Smith is all about and whether he can push on to that next level for me. And that's why he's one to watch.
Absolutely. And our joint one.
I know, we've agreed.
Easily. And it's Charles Rainsford over at Team BMW.
Yep.
So obviously this is a driver that's come through the Porsches. And just to give you a few stats of his recent Porsche credentials. 2 wins and 8 podiums in 2024 in the Porsche Pro-Am, in the Porsche Pro category, sorry. Previously in 2023, 1 win and 3 podiums in the Porsche Pro. The year before that, 14 wins and 15 podiums and the overall winner in 2022's Pro-Am. In all disciplines, he's taken 22 wins and 38 podiums from 74 races. So he's got a good conversion rate. He's 27, so he's coming into the peak of his racing career.
Is he that old?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to sources online. We've had problems with that before, but yes. According to online sources, yes, and my maths, 26, 27. Well, it'll be 27 by the time he's 27 this year, so he's 26 at the minute. By the time the season's finished, he will be 27, according to online sources. And so it's a good time to be getting into touring cars.
Very.
Generally, you're coming into your peak in this sort of period as well. This lad has been quick. He's a driver that both of us have sort of picked out whilst we've been watching support races, particularly trackside, not so much on the telly, but trackside. Kind of grabbed our attention because we're both children and he had King Dick on the side of his car, which you're smiling now, I'm grinning because it's just funny. You might as well have Wang across it or something like that. Yeah, it's just good. It's just good banter.
It reminds me of the days we're touring. Top Gear used to put those.
Larson's biscuits.
Yes.
Peniston's oil. Yeah, exactly. It's just good fun. But yeah, he's clearly been quick in Porsches. He's come to a rear-wheel drive car in the BMW, so he's still got that rear-wheel drive sort of you know, comfort, if you like, from where Porsches were. Obviously, Porsches are a lot more heavy and a lot more powerful, so he's got a lot of adaptation, or adapting rather, to do to the car. But look, he's been quick in everything he's gone. He's really earned his way through and come through the support series and sort of grabbed his opportunity there.
That's, you know, that's the biggest thing for me, is the way that we've seen him rise through those almost graduate classes in the Porsches is we see a lot of people almost stagnate in their class in the Porsches. Like Ollie Jackson, when he went from touring cars to Porsches, he went straight into Pro-Am, and we thought, why is he in there? And he's kind of stagnated where he is there, whereas Rainford has gone straight through the classes and been competitive at each time he stepped up.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, Jelly, similarly last year, didn't set the world alight when he went down to Porsches. On the flip side, you know, if you're looking for a comparison, it's Dan Kamich.
It is, definitely.
And I know that's big shoes to fill, but that is the comparison for me. Perhaps he didn't dominate. He's not done as well in Porsche as Kamich did. Let's get that right. No. But to me, that is the comparison. He's come through Porsches. He's done really well in it. He's now in the touring cars. And Kamich, let's not forget, was one corner and brake failure away from being a touring car champion.
I'm not sure he wants reminding of that again, but yes.
No, but yeah, so it can work. Obviously, you're right. Ollie Jackson going the other way didn't quite work. We have seen drivers come through in the past and not quite be able to cut it at this level, but with Rainford, I think it's coming in at the right time, right age, right attitude, and I really think, I don't think he's going to the championship this year, let's get that right, but I think he's certainly going to be competitive for the Jack Sears, and I certainly think he'll win races outright.
Yeah, we'll see how he gets on. Let us know who you think are the drivers are going to be the ones to watch for this season going ahead. Not long left now.
Aside from Ingram Hill. Because we know this. We don't need to know about them. Say that as red. That's fine. I don't want to hear anything about those three because they're going to be spoken about enough.
Yeah, we're fast approaching Donington now. So let's hope you enjoy the podcast that we've got coming up. And we'll see you again soon.
Bye for now.